So we ended last week. We were learning the amazing piece from Rav Kook in Hakdama to the Siddur about the Tefillah HaMasmedes Shel HaNeshama. You remember? The Neshama is davening. And what does it have to do with this Torah that we're learning? Because what Rav Kook is saying over there is that the only way for the tefillah of the neshama to become part of our lives, for the neshama to be able to emerge into this world and to change our lives and to bring us into that world of Elokus, the only way that the neshama's tefillah can be answered is through the study of Torah. The Torah is that which gives kivun, direction, and hadracha to a Jew to live, even though we're in the mitzias of the ben krach, of the villager, using the mashal that we were talking about last week. This is the place of the guf, of the body, of the villager. But nevertheless, the bas melech, the princess, the bas melech, who is davening to be able to find fulfillment while being in the guf, while being in this world, the only way that the neshama can find fulfillment, the only way that the bas melech can find fulfillment is by that individual who is carrying that bas melech, for that individual to connect to Limud HaTorah, to the study of Torah. David, I spent the whole last day of Shabbos answering your question, so you have to go over it. I don't know if you were able to.
No, I asked somebody, and they said this is a recording.
Oh, there is? Okay, because I took it very seriously, because it's the big question. So what's the difference between the study of Torah and everything else? So it's important to go over it. So that's the tefillah masmedes, the tefillah mas, the davening, the basmelch is davening, get me out of here. The basmelch, the princess, the neshama is in the guf. What am I doing? What am I doing in this guf of this guy that he's a ben kfar, and I'm stuck here in the goof of this guy from the village, and how am I going to be able to find expression? How am I going to be able to find a place in this world? So we say to the bas melech, listen, honey, don't worry. There's this thing called Torah. Torah is the answer to your tefillah. Torah is the answer to your tefillah. That this goof, this guy, this lady, this man, who's living in the village, far, far, far from that reality, it seems to be far from that, because everything is Elokus, but it seems to be far from that reality of Hashem, of the world of the Basmalach, of the palace, in this physical world, we tell the Basmalach, don't worry, in this physical world, there's a Hechet Timsa for you to find expression, excitement, meaning, depth, enjoyment. And the Basmal says, how? How am I going to find that in Brooklyn, the five towns? And what are you talking about? How am I going to find that? So the Torah is, Torah and Mitzvahs, Limud HaTorah, through studying Torah, every single word of Torah, every word of Torah, even though it might seem to us to be something which is dealing with the most mundane, simple, worldly things of the kfar, every word of Torah is coming from Hashem's mind, from Hashem's heart, through the mouths of the Chachamim, and therefore, every single word of Torah that we learn, the Bas Melech says, Amachaya. Oh, now we're talking Mamalashim. You're talking my language. So you say to Bas Melech, you say to the Neshama, Bas Melech, I'm talking about an ox, I'm talking about a cow, I'm talking about somebody's field and taking off trumas and mises. I'm talking about Paris and Yerokas. I'm talking about a nezek and a chatzi nezek. You're interested in this stuff? And the basmelech says, that's my mamalash. She said, basmelech, that's what you talk about, cows and animals? That's what you're dealing with? You don't live in a world of cows. You don't live in a world of Paris and Yerokas. So Basmal says, I absolutely do live in that world. I do live in the world. And every single, I live in that world, and every single word of your learning Torah is a mechaya, is talking my language. That's my language. Now, This is where we get to what we're learning today. Hasoidius. And I mentioned this last week. What Rav Kook is explaining is, of course, every word of Torah is the Bas Melech's language and gives direction to the to how the Ben Kfar and the Bas Melech can have a good marriage in this world. It can be a nice marriage in this world. And the Bas Melech can say, I'm happy in this world. Hakadekach, that when you look in the Svarim Kedoshim, especially the Ksavim of the Alter Rebbe, Chus Yilan, the Bala Ha'ilula, today's Bala Ha'ilula, when you look in the Svarim, but the Baal Tanya says that the chiyas, the ikka chiyas of Yaakov Avinu is Vaychi Yaakov Eretz Yisrael Davke. Yaakov's chiyas was in Egypt. The ikka chiyas of Yaakov Avinu's life was in Egypt. It's a pella. We're talking about that last week. The whole chiyas on Sunday, or I don't remember when. The whole chiyas of Yaakov Avinu was Davke in Mitzrayim. Not in Yushalayim. Not in Be'er Sheva. The chiyas of Yaakov Avinu is in Mitzrayim. The ikka chiyas of the Bas Melech is that in the Guf, in this place, far, far away from the palace, but talking my language, I'm able to be in a place where the melech, where the melech malchei hamlochim is occupying the minds and the hearts of the entire chevra here, in a place that seems to be so far from the palace. It's the ikachis of the neshamas vayichiyak beres tzray. The 17 years, Gematria Toiv, the Ikka Toiv of the Neshama is in this world, Akadekach, that the Ramchal says in one of his Svarim, that the Neshama, after a person dies, the Neshama goes to, after 120, the Neshama goes to Olam Haba, the Neshama is waiting and waiting, waiting to come back into the Guf by Tchias HaMesu. That was that the Bas Melech is waiting to come back again into the Guf, to meet up again with her husband, meaning the Guf, with the body. So you would say to the Bas Melech, to the Nisham, you would say, you want to go back to that place? You want to go back to the world? To the physical world? To that crazy place of what? Of Hestaponim, of Bilbulim? You want to go back into the Guf? Into the Guf? Here you live in the ocean of Ein Sof, in the ocean of the infinite. And you want to go back to the finite? But the Ramchal says, yeah, the body, the Neshama was waiting anxiously to return to the Guf by Tchias HaMesu. Why would the Bas Melech want to come back to this place? So you understand, by Tchias HaMesu, when there will be a zikuch of the Guf in such a way where the Bas Melech will no longer be involved in this constant struggle to make herself known to the Guf, to be revealed to the Guf. But the Bas Melech, at that time when Mashiach will come, will be Tchias HaMesu, the Guf will recognize the greatness of the Bas Melech, and the Chasna will walk around the Kala, not that the Kala will walk around the Chasna, and the Bas Melech will be revered and will be loved for who she is, the Neshama, and the Guf will be Kareh Meshtachvet to the Neshama. The Neshama wants to come back to the Guf. The Vechi Yankiv is Beretz Mitzrayim. It's a Pella. From all of Yankivino's life, the Ikir Chiyas is when he was in Mitzrayim, in the Meitzarim of what? Of the Guf, of this world, and all of the ugliness of this world was the ikachias of Yaakov Avinu. Was in such a place. Now, how Rav Kook now goes on Hasoidius. How is it possible that while we're in this world before Mashiach comes, before Tchias HaMesu, how is it possible to really, really, really be Mesamech the Bas Melech in the deepest way? To give the Bas Melech like direct dosages of Elokus, real, strong, clear dosages of Elokus, where the Bas Melech is not able to just say it's a Mechai, but the Bas Melech Ma'amish does a Rikud and is going Meshuga with excitement of being in this world. And the answer is that, of course, every word of Torah is a Mechai for the Bas Melech, but Allah has Kama V'Kama, when a person is Isaac also in the Iker, Atayra, and Pnimius Atayra, inside use, in the secrets of Tyra. So let's learn on page 83. Yeser Mimenu, he has side use. More than anything, Rav Kook says, is side use. Now he was talking about secular Chochmas, Olam, philosophy, and so on, compared to Chochmas HaKadosh. But Yisrael Mimenu, this is all Chachmas HaKadosh. All Chachmas HaKadosh is the language of the Bas Melech. is the chachma of the Bas Melech. But Yisrael Imenu, he has Saidius. But more than anything is Saidius, Pnimius Atayr, Said. Shehi, the greatest way to, the strongest way to answer the davening of the princess, of the Bas Melech, is all of Torah, but the strongest is when a person is Isaac also in Pnimius Atayr. So now that person is able to understand that when it says Shleim Achzim Atalos in the Mishnah, what is Shleim Achzim Atalos? You ever see the Maimer from the Lubavitch Rebbe on Shleim Achzim Atalos? All Sefer Shleim Achzim Atalos. On the Mishnah, Shleim Achzim Atalos. In Chassidus. The Maimer of Shleim Achzim. It's unbelievable. Then when you learn in Pnimi Shleim Achzim Atalos, then all of the outer layers of the Guf, of the Ben Kfar, of the village dweller, all of the outer klipas, everything is removed, and there's a yichud mamish with the Bas Melech. And then you see what Shlaim Ochsim Metalis on a deeper level in Pnimius, what does Shlaim Ochsim Metalis mean in Shemai? What does it mean, Shlaim Ochsim Metalis? Two are holding onto a garment. Zelmani was Zelmani, Kusra was Zelmani. What does it mean? What does it mean to the Bas Melech? How is it communicated to the Bas Melech directly without the levushim of this world, without the levushim, the garments of two human beings holding onto a garment and fighting over who owns the piece of the shmata, right? How is it communicated to the Bas Melech? Not only the toichen, the inyan, but the lashon, the pnimius is now, when you're learning pnimius at Torah, you're actually speaking in the vernacular of the Bas Melech mamish. There's no greater way to answer her tefillah, the tefillah ha-masmedes of the neshama, than by learning pnimius at Torah. That doesn't mean chas v'chalila to the exclusion of nigla, but it means together with. And then when a person is Isaac and Yehudim, as on a medrega to be Isaac and Yehudim, and the Bas Melech is mamish, Heviyami Melech Hadar, it's a yichud, it's the deepest and most profound intimacy that could possibly be in this physical world with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and a person is Isaac and Yehudim. So for a person from the outside, he thinks that these things are a bittul Torah. A bittul Torah. For a person from the inside knows, understands that this is the ikkikim of Torah. The ikkikim of Torah. It's these limudim of the ikkikim of Torah. The people from the outside think, oh, you're taking this on the cheshbon of Shnayim Arusim. You're learning this stuff. You could be learning another mission, another gemara. It's on the cheshbon of Shnayim Arusim. Chalil. Chas v'shalom. Huh?
How does it work? We're not really supposed to learn sodas till we're 40, no?
Well, how old are you?
No, but what for a person?
I'm not going to the end of 40. That doesn't apply to us anymore. What? It should begin. It should begin when you're four.
Okay.
When you're four, that's when it should begin.
Okay.
Not 40.
Okay.
Yisrael mimenu hi asoidius. Soidius. Shehi, Sod of course means secret, Soidius. Only Rav Kook has such a word, Soidius. It makes it more than just a limud, it makes it a mahalach in life, Soidius. Shehi betiva chayderes b'chol ha-toimes shal kol ha-machashavis. Soidius, the secrets of Torah, betiva, by nature, by what it is, penetrates to all the toimes shal kol ha-machashavis. You see, it's the opposite of what a person thinks. And Rav Kook explains, and Rav Aviner brings it out more. Intuitively, what a person, that especially how this, when you talk to people who learn Torah, who are wonderful and tzaddikim, and they spend their lives in the meat and potatoes of Torah, their intuition tells them that Pnimius of Torah is esoteric. It's not dealing with the reality. It's separated from reality. It's talking about, philosophy, chas v'shalom. It's talking about some kind of divine philosophy. There are people who called Kabbalah the study of divine philosophy. So. And one could think such a thing, Chalila. that it has nothing to do with everything in my life. Rav Kook says it's just the opposite. What we were learning until now in the Maamar is that the chokhmas of this world are each one is completely, completely focused on one tiny, tiny, tiny little piece of the Metzius. And that's why each discipline, the person is that inyan. But it's not going to the tahimas of life, of every single aspect of life. And Davka Soidius does that. The Tiva Chederis, by its nature, it penetrates. B'chol ha-tahimas, shakol ha-machshavas, to all of the depths of all thoughts. Shakol ha-goshes, and all emotions. All ha-goshes. The Chochmas ha-nefesh that's found in Tanya, Chochmas ha-nefesh of the Alter Rebbe. When you learn the Mamar from the Alter Rebbe, when you learn from the Tzaddikim, the Chochmas ha-nefesh. All of secular psychology is trying to understand ki hu zeh of a Maimer from the Balei Tanya of the Chochmas ha-nefesh, of the Chochmas ha-nefesh of the Balei Tanya. What it means to understand what is a human being, what does it mean, an emotion, a feeling of love, what's a feeling of fear, what does that mean to feel insecure, what does it mean to feel happy, what does that mean? Every machshav, every hargasha, shekol ha-netiyah, shekol ha-shivas of all inclinations and all aspirations, shekol ha-olam, it's all worlds, mirayish v'atzof, from the highest world to down to the tiniest little part of this world. So Rabbi Aviner explains, ha-saidi is an enemy tzo atzma'i. Saidius, pnimis ha-Torah, is not some sort of a separate mektzoa, some subject. It's not a subject. Isaac b'tchum mesuyam. That's Isaac in one particular area of interest, whether it's plumbing or it's physics. It's not a mikzoa. Eliosekes bakol. It's Isaacus bakol, everything. Yehuda who isuk bepnimius hakol. It's Isaac in the pnimius of everything. From the highest and greatest things to the smallest, tiniest little things that seem insignificant, everything. Therefore, to a person of Pnimius, there's nothing that's insignificant. There's no such thing as something that's not important. No such thing. Ba'atzmius hakol, the etzem of everything. Atzmius of everything. Therefore, many times over the years, I've mentioned to you the Torah from the Beis Yaakov from Ishbitz, that when he's talking about what is Kedusha, you know, all this time I'm trying to explain, what's Kedusha? What is holiness? What does that mean, holiness? So to say that it means to be separated from things that are unholy, that can't be telling you what holiness is. It's just telling you that there are things that are unholy, and watch out for them. That's really Kedoshim to you, Rashi. But it's not telling you about what is does. What is it? What is Kedusha? What is Kedusha? What does it mean, holiness? There's so many books written and things written about what is Kedusha. So the Ishbitz I mentioned many times over the years, he has a sentence. The Loshen is, Kedusha is a hepech shel dvarim shel mabekah. It's the opposite of inconsequentiality. That's what he says. He goes on to explain that. To say what it is a sight that can't be put into words. But he's not saying just, when he says, what he's saying is that for the person who is sensitive to Kedusha, there's absolutely nothing that's inconsequential, that's unimportant, that's insignificant. Every single thing in the world is whispering, like Rav Kook says in his poem, is whispering the sod of Hashem's existence. Everything. Everything. Therefore, there's nothing that's, there's nobody that's not important, there's nothing that's not important. It's a hepach of dvar mishal mabakar. There's every moment of life. An Ish Kodesh is constantly feeling the significance of this particular moment. But what's happening this moment? It's like there's nothing really going on. It's not Chanukah, it's not Purim. What is it? What is this moment? If you ever had the schus, we've had it in the shul over the years, to be in the presence of Rav Tzvi Meyer. Rav Tzvi Meyer Zilberberg, right? So one of the most beautiful things that you see by Rav Tzvi Meyer, there are many, many beautiful things. And I remember the first time that I met him is already many, many years ago. We took a walk together in Yerushalayim. The thing that moment that moment of his life, is the Heilige Yer Erev Shabbos, Parshas Shmos. And you feel when you talk to him that there never was like a greater time in the world, it's history, except Erev Shabbos, Parshas Shmos, Erev Shabbos, Parshas Shmos at 8:20. This is the most important moment there ever was in the history of the world. And you're wondering, what's going on? And that's the way he makes an Ashiyotza. Like it was never said before. It just came down. Moshe just came down from Harsinai and said, here's a bracha, you say, we leave the bathroom. That's what he says, a bracha. It's something to watch. And can you imagine? The answer is no, we can't imagine. So what was it like when the B'dishua, what was that? What was it like? What was it like? The B'dishua. What was that like? The Rebbe B'zushu. What was that? This second, this person who's here right now, who I'm talking to, there was never such a person ever that lived. This person. That's Kedusha. Whereas you could have two professors sitting, and this guy says, "What's your Indian?" And he says, "I study the ancient Babylonian earthworm. I wrote the book on ancient Babylonian earthworms." And the other guy says, I wrote about grasshoppers. Ancient Babylonian, yeah, but grasshoppers. Sorry. You don't get it. The Indian is earthworms. And the other says, no, the Indian is Babylonian, whatever, cockroaches. That's the Indian. That's how it is when you talk to professors. That's how it is. What does your thing have to do with my life? What does it have to do with my life? Soidius is chederus. It's everything. Just like Hashem is everything, the closer you get to Hashem, the more you get to everything. By the world, the smarter you are, the further you get from everything. That's how it is in the world. The smarter you are, the further you get from everything. There are some kids, they grow up, they think they're so smart, they can't talk to their mother anymore. They can't talk to their father anymore. I'm so smart. My parents are not like me. I'm so smart. I'm educated. My parents are not so educated. I'm a big chacham. The smarter you get, the further you are from everybody and from everything. And you go, you head to that ivory tower, especially if you're some big professor someplace. The smarter you are, the more separated you are from everything. By Soidius, the more you are in the world of Soidius, the more connected you feel to everything. Because Soid is the world of everything. Everything. The more connected you feel to everything. Just the opposite. By the Chachmas Olam, the more you study that Inyan, the more you become separated from everything. And become detached and lost in that one Inyan. Become that one Indian, like you live on this island. It's the only place in the world that exists. That island. That's all that exists, that island. You become separate. In the world of Saidius, in the world of Elokus, the more you see the connection of all things, there's no such thing, you're not separate, there's no island. Everything is connected. That's the world of Said.
The
people of Sod are not speaking about some other Mitzias, some other world, some ancient thing that was a long time ago, that there was a worm that was crawling around someplace. That's not what they're talking about. It also talks about the science and all the, it talks about the subjects that the scientists are talking about, but Rav Avinair explains Mabat Shona, but with a different perspective. Mabat Shona, with a different perspective. Al Kol Davar Metzias Nitan L'Stakam Mabatam Shatam. Shiny, we can look at everything in the world in different ways. There are different ways to look at everything in the world. Hasaidias and then Mada Aristocrati. So there's not some aristocratic piece of knowledge Hamisbatzer Ben Yonim El Yonim that just locks itself off in some place and talks about some esoteric, mysterious ideas. It speaks about higher things, and it speaks about everything. And it shows, it reveals the pnimius of everything, of what everything means. So it will also talk about the earthworm, but it will tell you, what is it? What is it? An elokus, what is this thing? What is it? How is Hashem's presence revealed through this thing in the world? What's the significance of this thing? As has sodi shel hametzias, the side of metzias, it opens up that sod, that secret of what this really is. What is this? What is this thing in the world that Hashem created? When you learn Perek Shir, you say Perek Shir. You see, what is this animal? So it was revealed to us that this is the Shira, this is the song of the elephant. So you want to understand, what is this mitzvah that Hashem made, this huge thing that walks around? What is this? What does it mean? What is it? So the scientist can study the elephant his whole life, and he has all kinds of books that he wrote about the elephant, and it's not the Indian of what the elephant is. It's not it. It's not it. It's the levushim of the elephant. It's mislabesh in all of those levushim of the elephant. But what it is. And this simple Jew is saying Perek Shira and tries to understand a little bit, what is the Shira of this animal? What is its song? Its song is what it is. And when you follow through with the song, you get to the pnimius, which the song is a trail that leads you to the pnimius of that mitzvah in the world. And then you understand, how is this elephant singing Hashem's song? This elephant is singing Hashem's song. It's not just something amazing to look at in the zoo or in the safari. It's Hashem's song. It's Hashem. It's a locus. It's completely a locus. Therefore, Anoshim Ha'iskim, Pnimius HaTorah, people are learning Pnimius HaTorah, Ha'iskim Yizeh, Esoteria, Intellectualis. People who study Pnimius HaTorah, it's very, very easy to fall into this trap that you learn Pnimius HaTorah, but it becomes also just another Chachma. It becomes what? Esoteria, intellectuality. It becomes some intellectual, esoteric thing that you're studying, that you enjoy studying. It's fascinating. It's interesting. You're studying like a subject. You can study Kabbalah like a subject too. I don't tell you, you know, that it's taught as a subject in many, many places. And you can go to the online and press a button for Kabbalah and verify. I never did that. I never will do it. But you can press a button for Kabbalah and you'll get who knows how many, probably hundreds of books. Kabbalah. Oh, this isn't it. It's not Kabbalah. It's the study of Kabbalah. It's a study of biology and the physics and history and Kabbalah. That also could become some kind of an intellectual undertaking. That's very dangerous. It's very, very dangerous. Therefore, some people, the Bechlal should not be Isaac in the Seder Vestalshlis and these things, if they have that kind of an idea. They have to be very careful when it comes to that. One of the Chavarim sent me a clip, a video of Rav Ashlag, of the Sulam's grandson, who came to get a dollar from Lubavitcher Rebbe. He went to Lubavitcher Rebbe. You saw this song? Who sent it to me? I don't remember right now. One of the chevers sent me this clip. And what he said to the Sulam, this person is a very chashuv person. This was many years ago. When the Rebbe, it's 30 years ago, this clip. But this Yid is a Talmud Chacham, he's a Mekubal. And he was standing there with other people waiting, you know, to get a dollar from the Lubavitch Rebbe. Because of who he was, so they let him stand there for like another minute or two and to talk to the Rebbe. And the Rebbe, and he said to the Rebbe that his name is Simcha Hashlag. So the Rebbe said from the Sulam, that's who you, he says, yeah, that's my grandfather. And then this tzaddik, the Sulam's grandson, he asked the Lubavitch Rebbe if he would sign a kol kire, if he would sign a thing that everybody should be studying Kabbalah. It's the Rav Ashlag that's there, very 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 big with that, with pushing Kabbalah to be studied by everybody. Every Jew should study Kabbalah. And so there's some things that happen as a result of that push that are not al derech hakedusha, which I don't want to talk about, but I'm sure that many of you have heard of Kabbalah for the layman and that whole inyan, that whole sugya of Kabbalah research and so on. That it's an outgrowth of some of that that went into a place that wasn't holy. So he wanted the Lubavitch Rebbe to. The Lubavitch Rebbe said he's not gonna sign such a thing. It's good that you're doing that. And the Rebbe said that everybody has to find his own way. You know, but it's a sham. He said, but by us, he said, the Lubavitch Rebbe said, by us, if you learn Chabad Chassidus, that has all the Kabbalah in it. That's what there is. Whatever we need to know in Kabbalah, it's in Chabad Chassidus. That's what he said. Now, whoever's watching it might think that the Lubavitch Rebbe didn't study Kabbalah. He just studied Chabad. The Lubavitch Rebbe knows better than all of those people. He knows everything. He knew everything. What was he saying? He was saying, he was giving a little bit in his own beautiful way. He was saying that we have it in Chabad Chassidus. All the inyanim that you're talking about, we have it in Chabad Chassidus. So the way I understand that, could be wrong, the way I understand that was the Rebbe was saying to him, is Gesundheit. And you do put out all your kolkaris, and you're doing great stuff, and ashreichem. But the avoda that I'm teaching is that for our time, the ikur is to be able to take that world of sight and to change your life with that world of sight. And to be able to bring it into the kelim of the Olam Ha'asiya, the Rebbe was saying, is without Chassidus, you can't do that. You can't do that. And he didn't say a word of disapproval, but there's no question in my mind. We know that in Chabad, they don't learn Surah. Not that it's not holy. And the Rebbe himself gave him encouragement and gave him an extra dollar, not just one. But he said, it's not our way. There is a danger that study of Kabbalah, and by the way, you could do that now in Chassidus too. You could talk to Hans Morgan about all kinds of interesting ideas in Chassidus, and it has no bearing upon your life, and it doesn't make that moment of Erev Shabbos at 8, well, it must be 8:30, right? Whatever, 8:35. It doesn't make that moment more important than it doesn't make you do a Tzimaya either. You can learn Chassidus now, it doesn't make you do a Tzimaya either. You don't become a Tzimaya just by studying Chassidus. Because that also can become some esoteric intellectual thing that's interesting. And you have to be careful. There's a Talmud of mine from years ago, so that we were talking about this last year, that there were people who were pushing, he's very, very smart, there were people pushing him to learn a certain sefer in Kabbalah to learn. And he asked me if I had learned that sefer, and we were talking about it, and I said to him, I had learned it. I did learn it. I said, but I don't feel that I grew from it. I gained a lot of information from it, but I don't feel that I grew from it. I said to him, but you should, I thought, like, why do you have to go through what I went through? It takes a lot of time and effort to learn that sefer. It's very chashiv, but better, you know, I already did that for you. I was might see you. You know, you don't need to go there. Which could sound on the outside like it's like Chalila, I'm saying something negative about the sefer, which I'm not chas v'shalom saying about that sefer. But it's very easy, and especially knowing that person who I was talking to, it would be very easy for that to become like a subject. Another subject. And you have to be very careful that it shouldn't be a subject. You have to be very, very careful. And the different ways of learning Pnimis HaTorah, and you have to be very careful. You shouldn't become somebody that's you know, going for a PhD in Jewish mysticism. It's very easy to fall into that. Be very careful. And if that's what it's about, it better you should just learn, you should better just say Tzenerena on Friday night and instead of doing the Kabbalah stuff. Then becoming another professor of Kabbalah. God doesn't need any more professors. There are already too many of them. He doesn't need professors of Kabbalah. If your whole thing is studying Kabbalah, is to see, oh, this is so interesting. I want to see how, you know, I want to see how the history of the universe. I want to study the history of the universe because I want to know how I came to be, how such an important, brilliant, beautiful person like me came to be. So I have to study Kabbalah. That's really what it's about. That you have these people that they're able to even sell, that there are people that are not Jewish, that they're all excited about Kabbalah. My parents, I used to go visit them every winter. I miss it very, very much. I used to go every winter for 2 days, 3 days to Miami. And they had a place in this, there's a building there called the Carriage House. You heard of it? There's a shul there. If you were ever there, you'll see that there is also a I don't know if it's still there, I hope it's not. But they had a sign there on the building, on the outside. There was a room there, and you can come in from the outside of the building, that it was Kabbalah Center. And my father asked me, what does it mean there's a Kabbalah Center here? What are they doing in there? What's this? Why don't they come to Davin? Because the place, the shul is right across. If you remember the Carriage House, there was a Kabbalah Center, had a room. And then you go from the outside, even if you go into the building. And then there was a shul, there's also a door from the outside. You can go in, or from the inside of the building. And my father said, how come he sometimes sees people walking into there, but he says, how come they don't come to Davin? And what are they doing? What are you doing in a Kabbalah Center? Why do they call it a Kabbalah Center? What are they doing? They're learning Kabbalah? Why don't they come to Davin? So I just said, I don't know. Because I didn't think it was worthwhile going to that and going to start having this conversation with my father about the Kabbalah Center. And he came on his own even with that because he saw some of them wearing robes, you know. My father just said once, Mishigon. He sees the Mishigon, you know, something crazy. It could become that. And then it became popular. Even there were people that were not Jewish that go to these things. Someone told me that there are movie stars and actors, actresses that they go for this stuff. Because the actress wants to find out how beautiful she was. How did it come to be such a person like me? How did I come to the world? She wants to know the whole Seder Hishtalshelus. Till it came down to me. What's the whole Hishtalshelus? How did such an unbelievable, talented, miserable, suicidal person come to be? How did it come to be? So she goes to the Kabbalah Center, and the professor of Kabbalah gets up and starts to give all kinds of speeches about Kabbalah. Oh, that's how I came to be. They don't know what they're talking about. So he says an interesting story here. I don't have to see the whole thing. A little bit I'm not so pleased with it being in print necessarily. But okay, I can take that up with the rabbi. When I meet him next time in the old city, I can ask him why do you have to put it in, but I have great respect for him. But the beginning is interesting. There was an interfaith, there was some sort of interfaith gathering in Eretz Yisrael, and he was requested to come, he was asked to come speak at this interfaith gathering. I was asked to speak on the subject, like to give some sort of not the main speech, but when you have, you know, they go to other rooms and, that's a funny word for it.
Breakaway?
Yeah, like breakaway discussion, kind of things like that. There's another word, whatever it is. Let's talk about the subject of Eretz Yisrael. Rav Avinir is probably the greatest leader, one could say, that Talmud Chacham, that represents that world of religious Zionism and so on. So talk about Eretz Yisrael. Fine, it's a good subject. To explain to the goyim that come and everybody else, to explain to them this fight over Eretz Yisrael. Ulam lo ladabi ben yonei dat. But I was told not to talk about religion. She's told. To talk about, to explain what's going on in Eretz Yisrael, but not to talk about religion.
Harabanim Harashim Shahayu Oz, Harav Avadi Yosef, Rav Goran, Omru Kimut Alecha. So he went to ask, he was invited, Rav Avinir, and he went to ask permission. He went to speak to the two chief rabbis. So at that time, the Svadish chief rabbi was Rabbi Avadi Yosef, and Rabbi Shlomo Goran, Zachon Levach, the other chief rabbis, Svad and Ashkenaz. So he went to ask Kishus, am I allowed to go? So they apparently told him, Adrab, go. They told him to go. Not everybody would agree with that, but they felt that he could help. So they told him to go. So there was some choshev, a thinker, a rabbi, who gave a speech, and he spoke about there being two hashkafas. Yesh hashkafa ratzil, not ratzilonistis. There's a rational way of, there's a hashkafa of rationalism. Realistic. Hamadaberes al devarim ech shehem. There's one rational, realistic way. One rational, realistic way of hashkafa that speak about things as they are, and there's hashkafa mistis, and then there's a mystical. Here it comes. Then there's a mystical hashkafa. So this kabbalistic mystical hashkafa. There's the rational, realistic hashkafa. You can see this in a million books. There's the rational, and they always try to make the Rambam and Rabbi Yehuda Levi, right? There's the Maimonidean. There's the Rambam, and they want to make the Rambam into some sort of professor. They made a picture of him with a trimmed beard and a turban, right? That we had on Mark Maris when we were little. The Rambam, that he looked like that, he happened to look like the imam that was down the block. and the Rambam is the rationalist, realistic doctor, professor. And then you have Rabbi Yehuda Levi, who's the poet and the dreamer, right? These are the favorite speeches, all the speeches. And you see in many, many books, many Svarim. I don't mean the Svarim from a long time ago. I think of Svarim, you'll see these kind of talks. The Rambam, and you have the Rambam thinking with his trimmed beard like that. And you have Rabbi Yehuda Levi has an untrimmed beard. He doesn't take care of himself. He's not rational. So he's got an untrimmed beard. He's got an untrimmed beard, Rabbi Yehuda Levi, and he doesn't have his eyes down thinking. He's like this. Untrimmed beard with payas and like this. Rambam, they didn't give the Rambam payas. They took his payas. No payas for the Rambam. But they gave Rabbi Yehuda Levi payas, and Rabbi Yehuda Levi was looking up into the sky. And you know right away we were going with this lecture. So that's the rationalist Rambam and the dreamer poet Rabbi Yehuda Levi. And I'm making it like into a funny thing, but a typical yeshiva bacher thinks that way. You can go past bacher, by the way, a younger man. You can go past that too, to many Rosh Yeshiva as well. That's what it is. The Rambam, deep in thought, looking into the Sefer, or thinking, and the Rabbi Yehuda Levi, the Chassid, the Mekubal, whatever it is, looking up to the horizon, waiting for divine inspiration. Thinking, feeling, right? Mind, heart. Realistic, unrealistic. The two worlds, and that's the lecture. And they'll have a poster, and the lecture is going to be on these two worlds. And the dichotomy. They love that word. You know, that's one of the favorite words? The dichotomy. It's all bubamises. You understand? So he says, he comes to this thing, with the two, and the professor's lecturing on the two hashkafas. The rational, realistic, and the mystical, kabbalistic. Shemaran harav kuk miatzigoso. Oh, this guy got into trouble with Rav Avinir. Because he picked on Rav Kook, the rabbi picked on Rav Kook when he gave this speech as the representative of what? The mystical, poetic Rav Kook. He's a favorite for the professors to talk about. Right? You can't do that because what's he talking about, Rav Kook? It doesn't make sense. It's irrational. It's super rational. They like that word too. It's higher than the rational. He was a divinely inspired, poetic person. But he's not realistic. These are the diburim, even of people who learn Torah, not just some professors. Even if people who are learning Torah, there are people who think that you and I, when tonight we're going to be learning
we're going to be learning Lakuta Moran or Tefer Shleim or something, or Kedushas Levi, that we're Isaac in something that's not not it. There are people that think that. That it's that, all right, they say, okay, I guess it's better what they would, otherwise they would probably be reading sports. Or they'd be, you know, rereading a novel, because they're not people that would learn Gemara. So at least they're right, so they're reading some one of these, keep them off the street type of a thing, you know. People think that way. And if you would tell the person, my friend, I want you to know that there's the ikke inyan of the Shechina in this world is here. Not to say you're not connected, but there's the ikke inyan of the Shechina. Isn't this inyan? They would say you're a sheikh, it's not because you're a kofer. It's very little different from that than the professor's way of thinking. So he's at this thing. And Rav Kook is the one who is the rabbi spoke about as representing the non-rationalist, Kabbalistic, mystical school. Shigam legitimate. Havaleinenim the beres al devarim b'shetach. And the rabbi, this rabbi who gave this speech said that it's also a legitimate expression, another popular word. It's a legitimate expression of Judaism. The rabbi said, Shkoyach, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai is a legitimate expression of Judaism. He says, also Rav Kook is also a legitimate expression of Judaism. But what? But it's enena medaberes al hadvarim b'shetach. You know what that means it's not talking about things that are on the ground. B'shetach. It's not talking about reality. It's about oilemus. Rav Kook was talking about oilemus. Not b'shetach. El al dvarim mistim. So he says an interesting thing. Listen to this. He says, Yosef liyadi. Rav Abiner says, Yosef liyadi, kaima, there was a galach, there was a priest, there was sitting next to me. Notzri katoli, a Catholic priest, not a minister, a real galach, a Catholic priest. V'omerli, so he's sitting next to Rav Abiner, this priest is sitting next to Rav Abiner. V'omerli, and the priest says to Rav Abiner, Harav shalcha lo mevin klum. You hear this? The galach says to Rav Abiner, your rabbi doesn't know what he's talking about. Listen to what the galach says. He says, mysticism is not something that's separated from reality. It's the most realistic thing in reality. It's the reality of realities. You hear this? So it came out from the mouth of the donkey, such a thing. Came out such a thing. And Rav Avinah is sitting there and listening. The rabbi is giving a drasha, Rambam Yehuda Levi, you know, Rav Kook and Rav Chaim. He's giving a drasha. And the galach says to him, what's he talking about? It's a great story, isn't it? I mean, it hurts, but it's a great story. He havonas ha'oimek ha'amiti shal mitzias. The galach says that Rav Kook understood what mitzias really is. The oimek ha'mitzias. The real mitzias Rav Kook understood. Himshich v'omar. So the Galach says, oy vey. But he's saying the truth. The Galach studied Rav Kook also, and the Galach says that what the Mekubalim are talking about, the Midas of Malchus, was explained by Rav Kook as a Gilu, a Kved Hashem, as a revelation of Hashem, of the Kved Hashem, is a Gal Malchus Yisrael, in Malchus Yisrael. That's what the priest says to Rav Abin there. And then this galach went on to say terrible things about Gersh Mishol, the famous Jewish professor of Kabbalah who wasn't religious, the professor of Kabbalah. Amahu enenu meivin klum, the Kabbalah. And the galach said that Gersh Mishol, who was considered to be the greatest expert of Kabbalah in the world, Gersh Mishol, that professor in Hebrew University, that he didn't understand. The galach said he didn't know what he was talking about. The rest of the thing is not so important. So what Rabbi Avinu is saying is the following. He's explaining Rav Kook. And this is where we have to be careful. This is where we have to be very, very careful. I guess maybe I could just use a marshal. Mandy,
You have a son, a tzaddik Shmuley. I know him since he's a little kid. He's not here right now. He's in Yerushalayim. Where?
Beitar.
In Beitar right now. Fine. He's in Beitar. You miss him. You wanted to go see him. Mr. Sham, soon you're going to go see him. Right now, you could be sitting, Mandy could be sitting, with a feeling of emotion about her son and his wife and the daughter-in-law and is feeling a strong emotion missing your son. The question that we all have for you is that real? Is that real? I can't see it. You can't see it. He's thousands of miles away. It's not anything that anybody can look at in a microscope or a telescope. Would you say, would any of us say, that the mother's emotions, the feeling that she has for love for her child, that she's holding in her arms, or the one that she misses, being over all the way in Beitar, would anybody say that that's not, would somebody say that that's not metziyazdik? It's not metziyazdik. Another marshal. A person can go to a shiur. Two people go to the same shiur. Two people go to the same shiur, and one person comes out an eish lahava, a fire, on fire from the shiur. What the magid shiur was saying, what the rebbe or whatever was saying, mamash a fire. And the other one comes out from the shiur disappointed. What happened? So the one that's on fire asks the disappointed one, what happened? So the disappointed one says, I don't find that what he said was practical. It was not practical. He was talking about something very, I understand is beautiful, and I appreciate beauty. I appreciate that it's something very nice, but it's like a nice scenery. you go and you stand on top of the you go to the Rockies or you go to the Grand Canyon and you look and you say that's nice, but it's a feeling that's a chalefet, you know, chalefet that passes. It's not anything that it doesn't have substance to it. There's no substance to that. You can look at a work of art, and for the person who's we call meat and potatoes, that what is that? What is that? It's something which is it's beautiful, and I admire it, but zelo mitziyuti. It's not real. It's not realistic. It's a feeling. The feeling that the mother has for the child, like how do I put that into the bank? What do you do with that? But an ish panimi knows that which is most real in life is the feeling of love that mother has for the child. There's nothing on earth that you could touch, that you could knock your head into, that's as real as a mother's feeling for a child. Nothing exists on earth that's as real as that. Nothing. But if you're going to say, but how you measure reality, how you judge and measure reality is by something that you could smell, touch, see, hear, and so on, you're an ish chitzani. It makes no difference how smart you are. And you will study Kabbalah the same way that you knock the table. It's the same way. That's how you study, that person studies Kabbalah. Same way. It's not meat and potatoes. And therefore, the two people can walk out from the same shiur, and this person says, that's a life-altering, life-changing experience. And the other one says, it's a lo mitziyuti. That person can only go to a shiur where the talk is about, do this, do this, do this, do that, do this. So, there are people that are like that. But they can only communicate in that which is called which is called Lamaisa. Olam Hamaisa, Asiya Shabasiya. That's the only way that that's the only world that they think exists. But when you show them a pizza in the Kedusha Slave and he's talking about a rough cook, they say it's okay, look, it's not, it's just not Lamaisa. Whenever I learn rough cook, I feel it's Lamaisa. I wish that I would be up to that, and I want to do that, but I feel it's Lamaisa. But the other person comes out from the same shiur and says, it's, you know, it's not Lamaisa. It's not Lamaisa. What is it? What are you talking about? What's Rav Kook talking about? What's the safest? What's this? He's saying these things. What does that mean? What's the oilam? What does that mean? For that same person, it could be hard to understand the theory of the mother's love for a child, like I spoke about a few weeks ago, until he has his own kid. He can't understand it because everything to him is an abstract concept. But for the mother, that child is not a concept. It's the reality of her life. But that emotion, not the child, but the emotion of love is not a concept. So you would say to the mother, you're enjoying the concept of your child? You enjoy the concept of that feeling of love? The mother would say, no, I enjoy the reality of that love that I have for my child. That's very meaningful to me. I enjoy that. It's very meaningful to me. It's the most important thing in my life. And like many people will say, show it to me. Show it to me. Right? The one who made the Rambam's beard like that will say, show it to me. Where? What? What are you talking about? Zalom etziyuti. Zalom etziyuti. Zalom ha-shatach, ba-shatach. It's not a shatach. It's not on the ground. It's not on the ground. And one has to be so careful. You don't ever have to feel that you're an underachiever when you learn a maimer in Ruchnius, when you're learning a beautiful maimer in Ruchnius from the Alter Rebbe or any other tzaddik, and that Ruchnius, that feeling that you have takes your breath away with its beauty and its depth and its importance and its meaning, that you're a person that's lo metziyuti. You're not living in the world. You're not lamaiser. You should never feel that way. You have to be very careful. Because the oilam that's against that, or the ulama doesn't understand that, they could very easily make a person feel that, you know, what do you, there's the minor leagues, you know. You're not really Islam Tziyuti. Islam Tziyuti. The Baruch was also Islam Tziyuti in their eyes. They would never say that. That was Islam Tziyuti. Where's the Baruch? What? I can't smell him, I can't touch him. It's Islam Tziyuti. Therefore, what's happened in many of our own circles is that they talk and don't talk about God. Or have nothing to do with, think about it. He also became an object of ritual, an object, a thing, a chefzer, not a gav. The Baruch Shalom became a chefzer, not a gav. A thing, not a person. I mean person, you understand. It became a thing that somehow is contained in my boxes of film. He became a thing that somehow is contained in my book, a thing that's contained in my talus, in my, a thing that's contained in my kugel. Whatever it is, a thing. Yet there's no governor. There's no being of the Rebbeinu Shlomo. And then going back to yesterday, to the Meridian Shia, then there's no Metzias, there's no Hechatim to talk about my Yedidus Mishkanasa. Yedid Navshi. What do you mean? Yedidus was something that doesn't exist. Zelo Metziyuti. How can you be friends with someone who doesn't exist? How are you supposed to be friends with a concept? It's a serious problem. How are you supposed to be friends with a concept? How are you supposed to cry over a concept? How are you supposed to dive into a concept? It's not realistic. But you ask the mother holding the baby, is this real? Is this feeling that you have real? There's nothing that's more realistic on earth than that feeling. There's nothing that's more realistic. You can't see it. Adarabha. The Olam HaPnimi, the deepest reality is one that you can't see. That's what the Galach was. The deepest Metzius is the one that you can't see. So the Truman Kabbalah Ma'asik all day and night with Metzius. Every word of Torah is an Asik in Metzius. Are there people who will take the words of Torah and learn them only like the meat and potatoes, so to speak. That's all that they get, and they'll spend their whole lives arguing about the meat and the potatoes on that level without ever venturing to the true metzias of the meat and potatoes. Yes. They'll never get to the Lubavitcher Rebbe's Maimer and Shnei Marsim. They'll never get to that. And they'll make fun of people who read it. And they'll think that the people who are learning the Maimer on Shnei Marsim, they're mystical, unrealistic, anti-rationalist types. I'm the rationalist. I only talk about the people who are fighting over the Shemad. That's what it comes down to. That's what Rav Kook is talking about. Soidius is a way of life. It's a way of everything in life, of thinking, of eating, of breathing, of walking. Soidius, not just soid, soidius. It's a way of life. It's a different life. And it's a life that's filled with gewaldige simcha. Simcha, excitement. That's when you get to really what it is. Then you come up with a person like Rav Tzvi Maia, who was so excited that there was never a 9 o'clock Erev Shabbos Pasha Shmoy Shoivavim ever in the world. Such a day like today, such a 9 o'clock like there was never such a 9 o'clock like Erev Shabbos Pasha Shmoy Stavshin Pei Aleph. You wouldn't rather have that than the philosopher that says, why? Stinks. Trump lost. The world is terrible. Everything is verfallen. The philosopher. That's the choice. I mean, very extreme, but there are all kinds of shades here and there. But that's what it's about. Those are the two worlds. It's not the rational versus the irrational. It's not Metzias versus... It's the Metziaship of Metzias versus a very shallow interpretation of Metzias. A very empty and shallow interpretation of Metzias. That's what it is. An emptiness. Hashem should help us. That we should be that we should be filled with the Metzias of that Metzias of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Be'ez Hashem, we should feel that this Shmai Stavshin Pei Aleph is the best Shmai we ever had in our lives. We should take us to Yerushalayim.